Do I have grain in my teeth? I just ate my salad. Hello, everyone. Welcome, everyone. Is anybody new? Alwyn, have you been before? Yeah, welcome. Aliza, you've been before. Yeah? Yeah. And Sebastian, have you been with us before? You can say yes with your head. Or you can. I don't know if Sebastian can he hear me. Sebastian, can you hear me? Have you been with us before?
No, I haven't been with you before. Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Sally. Hi, Sally. Hi, everybody. Hi, Kira. Kyra, not Kira. Kyra. Hi, Greg. It's because Rupert just married Akira. Sorry. Sorry, just scratch that. Oh my God. I have to end a bit early again today, but as a result, that's the bad news, or maybe the good news, because just be an hour instead of an hour and a half. But the good news is that I'll send you all a link for next time for free, because I like doing that. I don't even know how much I charge anymore, but hopefully it's not too much. But anyway, you can come for free next time, and if you can't make it next time, you could just email Eugene and say, send me a free link whenever. That's to make up for my guilt for not doing it, for doing it a bit shorter tonight. I don't know, I feel sort of like chatty. Maybe we should start. Okay, let's do something different. Instead of meditation, then conversation, maybe I was having my supper, which I usually have after the meeting, but because of something I have to do after the meeting, I was eating my salad. This is why I thought maybe I have some green in my teeth. And as I was eating my salad, I promise I didn't have any alcohol or anything. I was just thinking, because I just did a conversation, which some of you I know watched and some of you haven't maybe seen, with Suzanne Marie. And we were just talking about non-duality and all sorts of different topics around spirituality and so-called awakening and the sort of non-dual scene and the teaching, and we're going to do a second one. And I thought maybe I'll ask the group, without maybe not like not getting too like sort of verbose, but if you have ideas or topics that interest you, or questions that really, really grip you around your own journey, or things you might like us m like to hear us discuss. Yeah, maybe that would be welcome to hear. And also, if you have a question or something to say, let's take half an hour as we usually do, and then we'll do a meditation.
Yeah, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I have something because it doesn't feel right to treat this wonderment of manifestation as appearances, like empty appearances arising in consciousness. And then you are treating the adornments, like Pamela Wilson says, that they are adornments. And
And everything has a felt sense within, and that richness is somehow overlooked when it's treated, and especially like what you talked with Suzanne and the song of the eternal song. So that kind of how that darkness, the earth is birthing, breathing us
Right.
into existence.
Yeah, I hear you, Hilka. I mean, that's the topic that is dear to my heart too.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And not always easy to f talk about, really. Yeah, but yeah. Thank you, Hilka.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi,
Hi.
invisible person.
Yeah, sorry, I've got a face mask on my spots.
No problem. It's Catherine, right?
Yes, yeah, hi. I only received the link to the talk about an hour ago, and I was so excited to listen to some of your conversation with Suzanne. And I loved, I've only seen about 20 minutes of it, but I loved the way you expressed Ellen the Wave. I thought that was really, I just really resonated with that. And also, Ellen likes being Ellen, and I really like that because I thought, yeah, I like being Catherine. And because I'm fairly new to non-duality, that was really reassuring and grounding to hear.
Right. Well, that's great, Catherine, because I think it's I remember as a young non-dualist, when I met my teacher, I was so intent on rubbing Ellen away from the, just trying to sort of and I even thought I was succeeding, and I would preach to my friends who had no idea about any of this. And I mean, it was such a mission. And I mean, guess who was on that mission? Yeah, and so that, but also, yeah, why would we want to get rid of each one of us? I mean, and I don't think that's really what's meant with this emphasis on nobody there, nothing to do, but it is misleading, and many people do believe that they should stop feeling as a person. They should start feeling like awareness, and it is.
So I'm going to stick with you for the rest of my life because
No.
you've got a lovely, safe holding where the sense of self as a felt sense is precious,
Right. But and at the same time, you see, I don't want to wash the baby with the bathwater, because some of these non-dual teachers are very beautiful too, that what they say, and it's very true. And our essential nature is awareness. There's no doubt about it. And when we inquire, some of us have had glimpse after glimpse. Some are new, so maybe you have a little bit of a taste for it. For some, it might be just a sort of idea that resonates. But it's not like the non-dualist made that up, because it's at the heart of every mystical tradition, that understanding. So, but yeah. Anyway, I won't say much more than that. But yeah, because it would be sacrilegious to try and get rid of Catherine
Oh,
and
of course.
Alison, because it is the vehicle, it is the vehicle.
That's it. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Not at all. Thank you, Catherine. You've been before, right? I
This
know I read.
is my I think second or third time now. Yeah.
Yeah, because I do recognize a photo of you sitting on.
Yes, I know, on a rock. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If we use the analogy of the ocean and us being the waves, the ocean cannot be the ocean without the waves. So it relies on us being us.
Good point. What would an ocean be without its waves? Hi, Ganga Mama. But it's we're saying things that are we're saying things that are interesting, but they sort of pave the way for other questions. Like, for example, okay, so Ellen's interesting, Claire's interesting, Hilka's interesting, Jackie's interesting, as singular expressions. But what about then, that means that we have to, it's a little bit more complicated then to explore this understanding, because we can't just sort of retreat up the mountain to pure awareness. But we also know that it's not about consolidating something, affirming myself or defending myself. It's not about that either. We sort of know that too, that that would be, well, that would be a little bit limited and boring. And so it's about honoring something that we don't necessarily see yet or know yet. And that's the beauty. If I'm already full of certainty as to what the ultimate reality is, and we may be, but then we might just comfortably rely on that certainty. But the beauty about enjoying the adventure of the person is that we have no, there's no certainty. Life is constantly meeting the person, and sort of there's a constant relationship with others, with life, with circumstances, with the rest of creation, and therefore we have to wonder about that or explore that or and so the trick is not to fall into certainty as a person. Oh yeah, I know what, I know what I think, I know what I believe, and I know what. So then how do I do that? And what is that about? And how does that relate to non-duality? It becomes a conversation that's less, I want to say simple or simplistic even. It can be simplistic, the non-dual thing, a little bit. A, B, C, well, I don't know. Are your lives simple? No. Are they? I mean, maybe they are. Just don't. And yet, it's a constant paradox, because when we land in or with the deeper sense of our being, then it is simple. It is utterly simple. So, anyway.
Ellen, that's actually one of the questions I've been thinking about lately. I've been reading this book that I actually was going to send to the group, but I forgot. It's called Being Property Wants Myself, and it's by someone at named Joshua Bennett. And it's about the history of black slaves and just black people in general in the States as chattel slaves and as property. But he's a part of this really beautiful trend where new types of thinking about being as something not complete and selfhood as something not complete, but something that's able to kind of blur with other forms of life, and thinking about the way the lines that create us can kind of become a little bit more loose and flexible and blur with animals. And then, like, what other ideas of being kind of are birthed out of that openness. But I was confused because it made me think of non-duality and how in this space it does sometimes feel like a blurring, like whenever we're going so deep into our true nature, it is sometimes like a self kind of dissolves a little bit, or the boundaries that make up a self are loosened a little bit. And in this new tradition that's forming, that Joshua Bennett is a part of, there's always a conversation about the risk of madness, like, you know, losing the boundaries that create a self and being more open to kind of blurring your boundaries with other life forms or whatever kind of creatures that come up. There's this risk of madness. And sometimes I do feel a little nervous about if myself completely dissolves in non-duality, or if like I'm not making a rigid self and I don't hold on to a rigid self, like, will the process of dissolving right into awareness bring me to some mad place where I can't like come back as Kyra? And is that something else that I like? Is that a different place, or is that a different thing than what we're talking about here?
Well, I don't know about Joshua Bennett because I'd have to look, but it sounds more, I mean, it sounds very interesting, but maybe it's a different level, you could say, where he's talking maybe more of identity in a sort of philosophical, academic, right?
Right.
Possibly. But so maybe I could set that to the side because I don't know. I can't
right.
speak. But I can maybe say something about this fear of,
yeah, that's what I
that
want.
fear of losing yourself.
Yeah.
And so losing your mind. But and that fear, from the point of view of this teaching, that fear is an expression of holding on, and it just has to be welcomed. You know, there is no answer. I don't know. Maybe you'll go mad. I doubt it. I very much doubt it because, first of all, it's not like an event in time and space that the self dissolves in awareness. Awareness, if we take the analogy of the ocean and the ocean's always there. And then the waves, you know, we can take the metaphor and say we're each a wave. And then so then there's the wave of our lives. But really more accurate would be that Kyra is sort of rippling all the time. But for example, when you go to bed at night, the wave called Kyra sort of dissolves, maybe not all the way, because your body still functions and you dream, but in deep sleep, you know, the wave of Kyra is pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, Kyra, the wave, sort of reemerges, and you haven't gone mad. Something coalesces again. There's a magical, mysterious way in which nature functions without us having to micro, you know, like. It's a miracle, you know, that we are gathering here every time. Oh, look, there's Kyra. I recognize Claire, and there's Ganga. We have it. I mean, that is an incredible thing. None of us are doing that,
right?
Per se, it's an expression of the abs of the totality, and it seems that there's some laws and some laws of harmony and laws of love. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I can't really. But that fear, that existential fear, is very common. I mean, I remember in the early days when I would meditate or when I would do yoga at the end, you know, in Shavasana, I would let go, and then suddenly I would have such a jolt of fear because. And, you know, I think it's just a natural expression of help. I don't, what's happening? Not knowing.
Yeah.
It's an expression of, I don't know. I mean, we could say it's an expression of separation. I don't really like to say that. I don't know. It's just an expression of fear.
Yeah. I guess because.
But Kyra, it's happening in something else, which is aware of that fear. So now I'm speaking, you know, in non-dual sort of, but you're able to touch and taste that fear. And you can ask yourself, well, what is it that is aware of that fear? And all that kind of inquiry is interesting.
Yeah. Because I'm definitely aware of it when it happens, like when I'm getting scared of like going falling or like getting too relax sometimes during our meditations. It's like, oh, I do feel like my it is a relaxing experience, and I do feel less contracted. And then that itself, to feel less contracted, creates a
Well,
contraction.
it's not, no, it's not the relaxation that creates a contraction, is the thought. The thought that says, oh, and then that generates. So it's always thinking that the activity of thinking is powerful in terms of well, like you just said, contracting, or when the mind sort of lets go a bit, like when we're falling asleep, then we have this feeling of expansion or relaxation or blurring of boundaries, or when if we take drugs or do mushrooms, or it's that sort of lessening of the activity of the mind. And something you can practice, because I in my experience, there's nothing to fear, but I understand that fear. We can only find out for ourselves, which is what you're doing by experimenting and
Ellen, this is, it feels as though everyone who's spoken is carrying a thread of a different thread of a theme, and something that I've really been contemplating. And that is the fear is for the singularity, the identification of singularity. And I'd love to hear a conversation with you and Susanna about non-duality and what living in awareness means without the singularity, but with the collective of rock and earth and people and buildings
And can you say more about what you mean by singularity? Do you mean the sense of separation, or do you mean?
yeah, the sense that I am me by myself.
Okay.
And so when I feel a loosening of boundaries, it's not it at this moment in time, it doesn't feel so much like Jackie being Jackie goes away, but
Right.
the singularity of that.
Right. So I think what you mean by singularity is sort of being a fragment, being isolated and separate. Because I think I was using singularity as a positive, like that each one of us is singular. There are not two Jackies or two Claires or two Kyras. So there is a uniqueness about you. And yet what you're saying is, but you don't feel, you also, just like that wave is not disconnected from the ocean and the other waves. You're still, you have your uniqueness, but you're connected. And what
Yeah,
does
and the fish and the seaweed and the salt and the,
Yeah, no, that's a lovely inquiry. And it sounds like you know what it feels like. But for me, I mean, I don't think I'm very awake, honestly, because if I'm honest, it's an ebb and flow, and I'm sh maybe it's true of all of you, but I really it's an ebb and flow, and I sometimes so I somehow think that it must be the case for everybody, but maybe not. Maybe for some people, there's this sense of not never ever does separation come into the picture again, but I just don't. I don't know how I don't that's not my experience. So
And that's a great topic of conversation for you and Susanna as
Yes.
well. Absolutely. Because that, I mean, so many of us who have been on this path as long as we have that's been the gold standard, that we've been
Right.
taught.
Right. Exactly.
And
I think, in a way, again, I have this feeling like, no, that would be sacrilegious, because if you, then maybe what I'm saying is sacrilegious too. So I'm getting muddled up, but If we were convinced that we never feel separation, that would mean that we never suffer, because the definition of suffering is, well, maybe not actually. I'm getting a bit lost here because I it think it's a little bit heady. Like I'm getting heady, but it's like this feeling of suffering or the sense of separation that returns and then it leaves and it returns. It's the process by which we're rubbed and there's friction. It's because of that. It's because sometimes I wake up and I'm like, ah, it's precisely because of that, and thanks to that there's an engagement and a longing and a curiosity and all sorts. And it's not me manufactured, it's life and me, or it's God and me. And so separation is sort of an ingredient, the felt sense of separation. And then it relaxes for a while. There's this revelation of the ever presence of non-separation. There's a it some and then that's lovely, and it echoes through the body mind, and we feel the love, and then off we go again into some kind of another adventure. And possibly as we go along, we learn things, and we, I don't know, like, and each one would have to say how it is for each one of us. You'd have to say how it is for you, but a sense, there's something maybe stays or becomes more like the beloved stays with you, or I don't know, something like that. Anyway, I'm rambling a bit, Jackie, and but thank you for that. And do you want to say something more? Did I lose you,
No,
possibly?
you did not lose me at all. And I don't think I had anything else to say. I was appreciating your last sentence. I was just feeling into your last sentence of the beloved stays. Yeah. The love lover beloved stays. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Jackie. I just will say one more thing, and I've seen your hand, Krista, but the beloved, it's like suffering or the return of ignorance is what it's not that it's that which allows, but it seems to be an ingredient in sustaining a relationship between me or you and the divine. And then sometimes it merges, and but that relationship where I'm a human being and I am just a little human being, yes, and then sometimes I'm a human being that feels incredibly connected to other humans and other animals and other and but when I'm this little human being, I can have a relationship with the invisible, and I myself don't take myself at that moment for the absolute. And then other moments, maybe in deep meditation, it's like everything folds into oneness. And it's both. But if we try to live 24/7 as oneness, I think that that is sort of delusional. It's not the way it seems to operate. Seems that there's many modulations. Anyway, I'm not really meant to speak like this. Okay, Krista,
I think every time we try to fix anything, then it goes wrong. It is the edge between having a goal and don't having a goal. It's the edge between being a person and being the absolute. It is never one or the other or both. It is beyond. And I think when I sometimes in my life have realized that underneath the suffering, there is this incredible love, and in some sense, they merge out and in and out of each other.
That's beautiful, Chris.
But we cannot fix anything, and
No.
we shall not. It is this to be in the not knowing, and at the same time, react in the world as if we know something. But we must not take things so seriously. And if we just every time we shrink to this little person could say, okay, there you are again, welcome, hello, then things softens and the wave can be waves and the ocean can be ocean. And yes, that's how I feel. And if things shrinks, then okay, that's not because I'm not enlightened, and that's not because the don't all these explanations, they are of no use when we try to grab this. They can be good in the daily life, and that's okay, but we must not fix this in definitions, and because then we that's the same with the goal. If I say, oh, it's a goal, then I never reach it.
So,
I am the goal.
yeah,
And yes,
beautiful.
that's my way of saying things.
It's
Yes.
beautiful. Thank you so much for your wise words. Thank you, Krista. It's lovely. It's hard to speak about these elusive, paradoxical things. And in a way, it shouldn't be. I mean, it's me who said, let's talk. And I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Because it's difficult to approach with words.
And it's okay we do,
Yes.
but we must not fix it. We
Right.
must never think,
Must not
oh,
fix it. No.
now I got it. Yes, that's it. No, it's we must stay open and unknowing.
Yeah.
That's yes. Okay.
Thank you, Krista.
So, Ellen, in our world, being amongst tons of waves, there are some people who are really good at being together as waves, and some people who really suck at it, to be to be gentle, and we have a lot of practices like psychology, psychoanalysis, to help the waves be better waves. And how do we marry the non-dualist philosophy and practices with the reality that we're in a broken world?
I don't know. I don't know that we do that, you know. Are we in a broken world? Definitely there's brokenness. Does it need to be reconciled? You know, those are your, obviously for you, there's something, a contradiction between the brokenness of the world and the non-dual philosophy. But maybe that's something conceptual for you. Like if you think about it, you're like, well, what the fuck, you know, like how come this world is so disastrous? And we, you know, and then there's this pure awareness without free of this and free of that, and it doesn't compute. But that's a sort of conceptual way of looking at it. But if you go to your heart, Alwyn, or, you know, like, because I agree with you that sometimes from the point of view of the mind, it's like, what is the meaning of this and what's going on? And what do I do? And this is sort of Ellen's mind. But if I then come here and or just rest quietly or even read the news but feel somehow, feel the horror of what's going on, but I actually still can stay connected to God, or that's just a word, but I never feel that has exited the scene. I feel invited as a human to think and to wonder and to reflect on what's been mirrored through the events of the world, through the events in my life. But I don't know. I understand your question, Alwyn. I understand your question. But I think it's such a personal question. First, you have to ask yourself, is it true that I lose this deep meaning when I contemplate the brokenness? Is it really true? Do you really lose it, this connection with whatever it is for you, however you and you don't have to answer now, but and even when you feel that you've lost it, have you really lost it? And then it sort of takes you somewhere deeper where you have to wrestle with things that are seemingly have no meaning. Like the darkness in the world, the horrors of killing children, but also in our lives, you know, things that are dark, and we have to wrestle with them. They are here. They are part of creation. They're not a mistake, clearly, since they are here. So that puts us in a place where, like Christus was saying, we can't grab a certainty, a spiritual certainty, and say, oh, you know, okay, no, but the non-dual says this, and look, and then it takes care of that. No, it doesn't take care of. It's not like that.
For me, the chaos draws me deeper in to deeper into spirituality, deeper into my connection. And that, in a sense, for me, helps me deal with things like suffering, which doesn't really have an explanation. It just is.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, your own suffering, your personal psychological suffering, you can explore. Maybe you have more means to explore it. And that never contradicts the non-dual teaching. Even if we engage in therapy or analysis or this or that healing modality, we don't do it in order to consolidate the separate self. We do it in order to understand the layers of the psyche or of the body-mind, and to maybe discover hidden layers, and to understand, and it's not even to understand, it's even more alchemical than that, because usually we do that work with somebody else, and there's a relationship that happens, and in the relationship, something very mysterious can take place in this endeavor to heal. But even an endeavor to heal through therapy, but soon reveals itself to be something else, something that brings us in the now, something that reveals love, that reveals the miracle of life, that it. So I, it's, yeah. But it's it we can do something about our own suffering, or the suffering of, well, maybe we should start with our own suffering. I think that's the best we can do, right? But that's again a very interesting topic. Thank you, Alwyn.
Maybe just 30 second appreciation. Yeah, actually, I have a lot to say, but 30 second appreciation is thank you for all the YouTube and the answer just now. It's very bizarre to me, and I really resonate with the YouTube and all of you, and it's very bizarre, very painful, but somehow your video with Susan is a little bit persuade me to trust this bizarreness, that even the loss, even the pain is a really a grace of God, maybe. But I'm not maybe completely trust, but little bit persuade, yeah, to
To
maybe,
trust,
yeah.
you mean you were a little bit persuaded to trust the bizarreness? Is that what you said?
Yes, bizarreness of God, the contradictory, cannot
I
grasp to
see.
the absolute, yeah, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
That's great. I mean, I sort of get what you're saying, Andreas, that I think a lot of the teachings out there, they're very reliable and they're saying something about the absolute, and then what maybe and with Suzanne Marie, we were shaking it up a bit and things were not so certain anymore, or they were this, but they were also that. And I don't know, maybe you're saying that was in a way shook up, it was shaking a part of Andreas that just wants to see God in a very in a certain way.
Yes, because in your first sentence, it is Susan. I really feel that, like, personal self. I have been like therapy, hypnotherapy from my childhood, even my senior high school. I studied hypnotherapy and then go to the non-duality, and then Tibetan Buddhism. Yeah, good, very good. But the last way is like, oh, so many shadow. And but still loving so much the absolute non-duality,
Right.
and yeah, the dissolving, and in Tibetan Buddhism we say like generation stages and completion stages. So not just absolute, but not just relative absolute, like the Jesus, yeah, our Father who are in heaven, like the heaven and earth together embodiment. So I
Yeah.
really feel that, you did.
Yeah. Thank you, Andreas.
Thank you.
Thank you to you. All right, well, maybe we'll just anything else? Anybody want to say something else?
I just want to say a little thing, and I can't wait to go into the meditation. There's something that Andreas was saying that just kind of got me to maybe able to say something about my response to both of you and Susanna, which I was just so excited that you two were going to be doing this. I thought about it for as a dream, you know, it felt like a dream come true, the two of you in dialogue. So, but I was surprised by it because I could feel like on some level, on a frequency level, there was some agitation. And in hearing Andreas and feeling into my own process with it all, it felt almost like it was like a, you know, grain of sand, the irritation of energy frequency. There was something that wasn't quite in sync on an energetic level. And I always kept on thinking, come on, you guys, slow together, you know? But there was something about the agitation that was so powerful and important in terms of all everybody said today.
Right.
Really important. Yeah. And I felt like at some point it felt like you were almost thinking, oh, you know, Savannah thinks that she's aware all the time or something. There was some judgment there. Or there's something about this whole thing that I was like, oh, this needs to be unpacked. This would be so valuable for the community too, because you were both being so truthful to your own
We were trying, I think, because I
discovery.
like Stephanie and I think she likes me, and but
Oh,
we're
yes, definitely.
very different expressions, you know. And
Exactly.
so
Precisely.
there was a little bit of something, but there was also a lot of
Oh, respect and honor. And there was all
yeah.
that. There was
But I
no
don't
doubt
think
about
we were
that.
quite ready to, or even knew, would have known how
Exactly.
to
Yeah.
address this thing that you picked up, because it would have then brought us to some kind of heady place, I think, where each one would have had to define maybe. And so I think it was.
But I don't think that's true. I think that it would have unfolded. It will unfold,
Yeah.
you know, at not in a heady place at all, but experientially together, energetically. I mean, I just have total trust in that.
Yeah.
But I felt that this was exactly how it was important, not necessarily conceptually, because, you know, on a mind level, it was whatever it was, but you know, just kind of like on a, you know, it just felt like it was important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, you know, in a way, I think maybe, and then we'll stop, but it's messy business, the business of messy in the sense that it's not always going to flow in harmony. You know, why should it? It doesn't. And
Right.
here we were, Suzanne, Marie, and Ellen Emmett talking, you know, and
Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah.
time and just and it, so there was lots of different qualities there,
Absolutely.
and an attempt, as you said, as you say, to each one of us to speak our truth, not go with the other one and train with the other,
Yeah.
at the same time make space and
Yeah,
trust
be respectful, you know.
The field, you know, as you say, what is
Exactly.
unfolding, trying to listen to that. And it's
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
maybe that's a sort of analogy for life. Life
Exactly.
as non people who are interested or know the truth, but who, when they're out there in life, it's like a dance. You're dancing with.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Thank you, Claire.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for engaging. We don't usually do this for newcomers. Usually we start with a meditation and then we have a conversation, but and I don't have very much time, but we will go. And Ganga, you came today and you didn't expect this, but next time you could come sing for us again sometime. All right. Well, if you feel like it, you could close your eyes and settle comfortably and let all these words settle down. takes a bit of time for thinking to settle, at least in my case. But you don't have, we don't have to do it, just letting things be as they are. And the beauty of meditation, and when I say meditation, it's what I mean is just what we're doing now, first of all, being together, but we can do it also when we're alone, but simply closing our eyes and not doing anything. And that's a moment of returning to the ocean, or at least being open. Being open to the ocean, or turning our attention away from the surface, the waves, the ripples, the thoughts, the feelings, the events. And giving this attention, like it's like a devotional movement, the giving our attention to the ocean, to reality, to the underlying principle of all things, which we don't really know what it is with our mind, but and yet we know, since we come out of it, since we are an expression of it. And again, we don't have to do it. The words are just pointing and caressing the vibration of our true nature, saying, we love you. And the beauty is that when we turn in that direction, each one of us, we're turning in the very same direction. And we are loving the very same no thing. And we don't have to make our personhood dissolve. We don't have to do anything. God is here. And that, if that word is not the right word, just replace it by the word presence is here, beloved is here. Eternity is here. And not, it's not at a distance. It's, and these are just words. But it isn't at a distance. There are no words. And every corner of your experience is with it, in it, of it. And if my words don't if they don't evoke the experience, that's okay too. Sometimes it's like that. It's like a drought. We can't feel it, we can't see it, we can't smell it. And yet. Perhaps when we are in the desert, all we need to do is say, Beloved God, presence, I am in the desert. Just to say it. And to be willing to be there. To be honest, humble, to be here. And to see what happens, what is revealed. Let it dawn on you. You don't have to do it. You can't. The mind cannot manufacture reality. Reality came first. Or God, or presence, or consciousness, or Ma. So, whatever our experiences. At any given moment, God is at its source, here, now. Which means that it's all good. And I know then, the mind and now my mind goes, yeah, but what's going on in the world isn't so good, is it? So maybe that argument of the mind just needs to be welcomed. And sort of held. Maybe it, that when we realize it's all good, it's on some other level. But for now, here, us here now, maybe we can feel the it's all good feeling. It's all unfolding as it should. And on that note, I'm going to leave you and say thank you very much. And you'll be getting a link for the next time. If you can't come next time, just email Eugene and tell her. And yeah, thank you so much. And I don't know. You know me. I'm gonna say I sometimes and I'm not good, but it's me. And I do ramble and I do go off and I'm so grateful that I can do this with you all and we find our way and that we can find our way back to the quiet place, you know. Because it's just feels so good and so real. So, till next time, hopefully. Take care.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye. Bye, Greg. Big
Thank and thank you everyone who had these very thoughtful comments. I'm very I feel like I had a lot of kindred hearts here.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Bye, bye, Catherine. Bye, bye. Bye, Janet.
So people who don't know that your conversation with Suzanne was on YouTube.
That's right. Thank you. And there's going to be a part
Yeah.
two, Claire.
Great, great.
We'll try to be even more real.
I know. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Gunga. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Ellen.
Bye.